नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यते शतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासिदि गौर भक्त बृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I am very honored and very grateful to be with all of you this evening. And I thank you for being with us. Nupur was requesting me to speak something about my journey to India. I was born in 1950 in Chicago. When I was a teenager in the 1960s, it was a time of great cultural upheaval in America. There was the Vietnam War. There was terrible prejudice against African Americans, the rise of the civil rights movement. These things greatly troubled me. And I could see around me, there were people with wealth, with power, with health, with beauty, with fame, with all of these things, but no real meaning or fulfillment in their lives. It seemed like the society around me was very fancy, decorated, empty shells without inner meaning. I became a social activist, a civil rights activist. Sometimes I was tear gassed by the police simply because I wanted to express my will for freedom. Then something happened to me. I came to the conclusion that if I don't change myself, I cannot do substantially anything for the world. And I heard the words of Mahatma Gandhi that we must be the change we want to see in this world. And I could understand that was a spiritual transformation that I was really looking for. But there was a problem, because I saw among so many religions so much hatred, envy, and violence. Why even talk about religion or spirituality? But as I went deeper, so I wanted to dive deep into what is the essence of all the great religions in the world, because I believed that could transform me. To love God and be a compassionate instrument of God in whatever we do, I believed, was the real purpose of life. And I studied, and eventually I traveled to other lands. I traveled throughout Europe, studying Christianity, Judaism, I got a call. After months of prayer, a voice in my heart spoke three words, and I knew on the top of a mountain on the island of Crete in Greece, if I follow these three words, my life will never be the same. The words were, "Go to India." I believed it was the words of God. And I left my cave in the island of Crete and left my friend and alone began hitchhiking through Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, after hitchhiking through all of Europe. Hitchhiking means standing on the side of the road with the thumb out, begging people for a ride. After 6 months of diseases, death threats, and all sorts of incredible experience, I arrived at the border of India. I had such anticipation. I would meet the yogis, the lamas, the gurus, the sages, go to the holy places. I'm now only a few feet away. Covered with dust, trampled down by my experiences, I handed my passport to the immigration agent. She asked me a question, the one question I prayed she would not ask me. "How much money do you have?" I looked and collected whatever money there was. I remember it was 26 cents in four currencies. She growled at me and said, "You need $200 to enter India. We don't want any more beggars. We have enough. Go home." I was in that no man's land between Pakistan and India. I didn't have a visa to get back to Pakistan. They wouldn't let me in India. I pleaded, I begged. The border security screamed at me and eventually put their guns in my face and told me, "Go." But there was nowhere to go. I sat under a tree for 6 hours until the border changed guards. And a Sikh gentleman, he took the position. I approached him. He looked at me and said, "My superior officer has ordered me to reject you." I begged, I pleaded, I cried. "Just give me a chance to seek the treasures of your great country, and I promise you someday I will do something good for India." He looked at me very deeply in my eyes and took my passport and then spoke words I'll never forget. He said, "My superior officer ordered me to reject you, but sometimes a man must follow his heart. I'm going to give you the chance you've been crying for." And he stamped my passport, put his hand on my head, and said, "My child, welcome to India." I traveled to the Himalayas. I studied Hinduism. I was studying Islam. I studied Buddhism. That's the story of my book. Eventually, I found this path of bhakti, or devotion. When my beloved guru, Srila Prabhupada, was in London, a British gentleman asked him, "Why have you come to England?" And Srila Prabhupada said that the British came to my country, India, conquered it, and took away all of our treasures. But you forgot the most valuable of all the treasures of India, our spirituality and our culture. I have come here to England to give all of you what you forgot to take. I was watching these bands playing rock and roll music, and I was just meditating as I was sitting among all of you, how one of the greatest revolutions for a positive purpose in the history of rock and roll was inspired by the culture of India. The Beatles, who were the greatest rock and roll, most famous people of the time, they were inspired by meditation and yoga and lived for some time in Rishikesh. And George Harrison became a devotee of Krishna, was chanting Hare Krishna mantra in his own voice. And his music was so heavily influenced by the sitar maestro Ravi Shankar. At that time, rock and roll was known for revolution, anarchy, sensual experience, but that all changed. The largest airports in America was named after him, O'Hare Field in Chicago. He was willing to sacrifice everything for others. What I find very interesting is this, and please listen carefully. Butch O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddie. This is the power of the example of integrity. And if we extend that to the deepest level, we find the great gift that India has for the world. The Bhagavad Gita, there's a beautiful verse. Krishna says, Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha. That means that real wisdom, real knowledge, is not just about getting bachelor degree, MAs, PhDs, or somehow or other accumulating massive data within our brain. Real knowledge is the ability to see every living being with equal vision. Mamayavamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. It is the Atma, the soul within the body that's seeing through our eyes and hearing through our ears. The body is like a vehicle. The living force is who we are. When we understand our own spiritual nature in our own relation with God, then we can see every living being as our brothers and sisters.
whether they are male or female, black or white or red or yellow or brown, whether they are Hindus or Muslims or Christians or Jews or Sikhs or Zoroastrians or Parsis or agnostics or atheists, whether they are elephants or cows or dogs or cats, wherever there is life, it is sacred. And this is the knowledge that the world is thirsting for. When there is love of God in the heart, it naturally manifests as compassion to all living beings. And the great culture of India has been teaching the world since time immemorial, and I risked and gave my life to come here to find it. How to live in this world, as the Bible says, but not of this world. To perform our duties, whether we are in business and industry, as doctors, as lawyers, as housewives, educators, or farmers, and do our work in a spirit of love, a spirit of compassion to others. This is knowledge. And this is factually the only way we can find internal fulfillment. Finding happiness within is not just about a little meditation or a little prayer. It's a dynamic way of life, to live in a spirit of compassion. And I just want to share with you what I so deeply in the core of my heart believe. It's a message for the youth of India. When I was young, there was a book about a wealthy man, and he left all of his wealth for his only son, but never told his son where it was. His son was so eager for that wealth that he searched the entire world trying to find it, but never found it. And during his journey, he died. They brought his body back to the backyard of his home, and when they went to dig his grave, they found the treasure. This is the story of life. What we're really looking for, the real wealth, is within our own hearts. The eternality of the life of who we are, our relationship with God, and to understand our relationship with all other living beings. Now India is developing economically, scientifically, militaristically, in every way. I was recently at a very high-level conference in Beverly Hills with many of the greatest leaders of all different business, investment, and politics and entertainment in the world. And the coordinator of the conference was explaining how important India was to the world. And what he was explaining, not just medicine, industry, business, entertainment, and education, but the foundation of Indian culture, which is compassion and spirituality. Please, in whatever you do, build it on the foundation of what your great fathers and mothers and ancestors have given you. The name of God, a life of integrity. And if the young people of India embrace these principles, could create a revolution of peace and happiness throughout the entire world, for sure. Thank you very much.